Hello, and welcome to Insights Edge from the Lagos Business School Management Hub. With our finger on the pulse of the business world, we're committed to bringing you insightful conversations with thought leaders, industry experts, and visionaries who are at the forefront of their fields. I'm your host, Emma Matar, and I'll be your guide as we delve into the latest trends, timeless strategies, and cutting-edge ideas to solve challenges prevalent in the African business landscape. Stay tuned. Welcome to Insights Edge, brought to you by the Lagos Business School Management Hub. Today on the show, we have Mr. Ekeno Eyo. He is a leadership executive with over two decades of experience in marketing, advertising, PR, brand management on both the client side and agency side. He has managed and driven relationships with award-winning brands, including MTN, Airtel, Cowbell, Peak Milk, Nokia, Diamond Bank, amongst others. He is the managing director of the Red Wolf Company. Welcome, sir. We're so happy to have you on the show.
Thank you very much, MM. It's a pleasure to be here.
Amazing. So, we'll be discussing a topic that I am well aware is your forte, and that is digital marketing. We'll be talking about it in the light of how digital marketing is causing seismic business shifts, both globally and locally. Are you ready for this topic?
Let's have fun with this. Digital marketing is something that is close to the heart and I enjoy talking about. So,
awesome. Yeah, ready. I hope the time will be enough for us to
I'm sure you won't have enough time. Always never enough time to talk about digital marketing. But let's make the most
of it. Let's try our best.
Yeah, cool.
So my first question is on digital marketing. How are some companies presently using it to drive business growth and expansion, both on a global and local scale?
Yeah, I mean, let's take a step backwards. Okay. on how this, as we all know, digital marketing has been driven by technology, basically. And part of the things that have driven digital marketing have been the availability of global shipping, online payment service, mobile, as in mobile phones, mm-hmm. and all of that. So companies, especially after COVID, realized that the absence of digital marketing means that you're actually an outlier. You're not participating. And so a lot of businesses that were, especially after COVID or during COVID, that were not applying digital marketing strategies actually were the least to come out of the COVID issues faster. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you how does this happen. I'll give you a typical example. If you were a restaurant that didn't have online services where people mm-hmm. could order stuff from your restaurant, only in-restaurant service, when COVID hit, you were lost. You had to close shop and all of that. But mm-hmm. those who were doing online deliveries could come and, you know, they could order and you could deliver for them. Mm-hmm. So all of that has really helped, you know, a lot of businesses. But I think the place where digital marketing has been seen in full power is in business and sales.
Okay.
So businesses have, using some aspect of digital marketing, including e-commerce, have been able to generate sales online without necessarily having to start a shop or start an office or warehouse. Mm. And so I would say that's the background to, you know, how digital people have been using, or businesses have been using, you know, digital marketing to thrive.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Mm. From what you said, it's really interesting the effect that the COVID-19 pandemic had on marketing in Nigeria. So now let's talk strategy. Right?
Yeah.
How can businesses reposition themselves or even reposition the market using digital marketing?
Okay, good question. I would always say almost every business today has some form of digital marketing or online presence.
Okay.
And I think this is very important that businesses begin to move away from digital marketing and look at digital transformation in marketing.
Mm.
And the difference basically is what digital transformation in marketing actually speaks to is the shift from digital marketing complacency to digital marketing optimization. And I'll quickly explain what that means. Mm. So in terms of strategy, if you have digital footprints on social media, email marketing, whatever it is that you have, the real question you should be asking yourself is, are these the channels you should have? Do they work for your target audience? Do you need them? Are they giving you numbers? Are you looking at the reports, the analysis and analytics? Are they working for you? Now, there's an ongoing conversation amongst marketers, and I dare say some of my colleagues who are in digital marketing, about the power of omnichannel. So you are in multiple channels, right? But the strategy, the key strategy basically is, are those channels where your target audience are? All right? Because if your target audience are not there, you are just there for, you know, just for fun. And no business is in business for fun. You are in business for business.
Yes.
Yeah? So even if you are not in business for profit, let's say you are an NGO, you have to know which of the platforms and channels that you're going to apply, you know, your strategies to. So I'll give you a typical example.
Right.
Let's look at some businesses that have actually repositioned the category. And I'll speak briefly about Uber.
Uber.
Right? Uber doesn't have a fleet of vehicles, all right? But they are everywhere all over the world. And they've driven that business through digital marketing strategy, all right? And so they've repositioned the transportation business, you know, using digital marketing. If you look for another example, you look at Airbnb, all right? Airbnb doesn't own hotels, apartments, nothing.
Or properties, yeah.
But they don't own properties, but they are probably the biggest accommodation for paid accommodation actually today, all right? And everything is being driven using the digital marketing platform. So what strategies you adopt actually depends on where you play, who your target audience are, and what your expectations are, all right? So for me, I would say, if I'm in retail, my question would be, who am I targeting? What are they looking for? What's their pain point? Because I think the bedrock of digital marketing and marketing, if I may say, is understanding the need or creating the need. There is either a need that needs to be addressed or you create a need. All right.
Okay.
At some point in time, I don't think anybody thought that we needed Uber.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Yeah.
You get somewhere, you see a cab, you hail the cab, you go in there. Or in our days, you would have to stand in front of your street and you get a yellow cab pass by. But somebody created a need. All right. So I think that it's more about understanding your target audience and what your product solves for them as part of your critical strategy. Now, let's look at, I think it's important to understand also the fact that as a business, you have to understand that digital marketing is a big phenomenon. Today, it is estimated that digital marketing globally has passed the $520 billion, you know, mark.
Wow.
And if you look at that, you're asking yourself, so why are people investing in it?
It has to be.
In Nigeria, it's estimated, although our numbers are not always very, you know,
accurate,
but it's estimated that we done 81 billion naira in digital marketing as at the end of 2022. So definitely, and globally, you know, if you look at advertising as a whole, we are seeing that 60% of the roughly 800 billion is digital marketing. So there's an investment, that means there's something happening there.
Certainly. Wow. So speaking of, you've spoken of budget and you've spoken of expenses, how then are businesses supposed to allocate their budgets for digital marketing?
Interesting question. I'll tell you something.
Okay.
There is no formula.
Okay.
And I've seen a lot of people, I know my clients are going to shoot me in the head somehow, but I'll tell you, I've seen a lot of people say allocate 4% of your total revenue to marketing. Mm-hmm. All right. And some people have said, okay, out of that 4%, allocate 20-30%, you understand, of that budget to digital marketing. And again, I say the point that you need to understand, that's very important to understand, is who are you targeting? Are they digital natives? And if they are digital, so let's go straight up now. So if I'm targeting millennials or Gen Z's, and I'm selling shoes, and I'm selling, you know, funky shoes.
Okay.
I'm not talking about your regular shoes. Funky shoes. I'm not going to be investing so much, especially if I don't have the kind of capital to open shops all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be investing so much on physical stores. So I'm going to go online and I'm going to invest most of my money. So in terms of how much you should invest, I think the simple answer is invest what is required to reach the most of your target audience with your product. Because again, there's no rule. And you only know how much to invest by trying it gradually. So for instance, if you have a budget of 100 million, I'm saying, for your marketing, if you started with 10 million in the first year and you see that the return on investment in that first year was 200%. So for every $1 that you invested, you got a return on investment on $2. Then that means you want to up that number. And if you invest, let's say $20 million the next year and you get the same thing, that means you need to consistently begin to look at shifting your budget to digital, especially if the traditional marketing or advertising is not giving you as much return on investment.
Mm. Wow. That is apt, really.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for that insight.
Thank you.
Speaking to what you just said on expanding globally, a business that starts maybe in Nigeria and wants to expand on a global scale, how can they utilize digital marketing to achieve that goal?
Sweet. Okay. Let's pause for a minute. The best way and easiest way for me to explain this is, let's look at something that everybody can relate with.
Okay.
In the 80s, sorry, I'm that old. In the 80s, where our music and our musicians were not global, Christiana Esenigboke, Felix Liberty, and all the rest, they were known in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
The only guys who were known globally were the likes of Fela because he did tours abroad.
Mm-hmm.
However, today we have global brands in the music scene.
Certainly.
Right? Burna Boy, Wizkid. I'm just using it to set a context for how digital can help you move from a local brand to a global brand. Now, the important thing again is, and it's almost a no-brainer, but I think somehow we miss it.
Okay.
The important thing is, what's your ambition? Who's your target? Do you understand? But I would always say one thing. You have to start with your local market and your local audience and build on it. So let's say not necessarily, but it's always easier for you to take learning. So let's say I'm into traditional wares.
Okay.
All right? And I'm making clothes for the Nigerian market. So this stuff I'm wearing,
mm-hmm.
I have to have understood what sells here,
mm-hmm.
and taking feedback from the market and decide that, okay, I think there's an opportunity. By the way, I had a friend coming from Finland last week or 2 weeks ago, and he saw my outfit and he was like, oh wow, I need to make this. All right. So again, you could test the market there. So I'm not one that advocates that you just jump into a global market.
Mm-hmm.
So all the brands, the Nestle's of this world, the Amazons of this world, all the big brands, P&G's, started local, became global. But the thing is, what's your ambition? If you have a product that appeals to anybody, then you have a market, you have a global market.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing is, you know, do your branding, create awareness online. And I dare say that you must have a viable website. You must have viable handles on social media and all of that. And you must start to plan on how to do paid adverts. Because again, paid adverts will allow you to be seen in Finland, in Sweden, in the US. So it's basically starting local, building on local insights and taking feedback and international insights.
So speaking on, you know, digital tools like advertisements, I want to talk about search engine optimization. What strategies are effective for local businesses to optimize their online presence?
All right, so I'll say this quickly. I think we don't address search engine or SEO as much, and there's a lot of confusion with what it is.
Okay.
You understand? Basically, it's supposed to allow you show up better when somebody searches. Mm-hmm. So the SERP that lands, which is search engine, you know, I mean the search page that shows up, mm-hmm, when you make a search should rank you higher. Mm-hmm. And so the important thing is your website is the main traffic or the main place you want to drive traffic to. Mm-hmm. So the question is, do you have the right content on your website? Mm-hmm. The question is, do you have the right keywords? Because it's important that you build a list of keywords and topic that you want to drive traffic to, mm-hmm, your site. So for instance, the lovely hair that you have on now, I like to use things that are in front of me. So if I am into hair products, I want to have a bunch of keywords that speak to hair, whether it's African hair, you know, attachment, weave on, whatever it is, are those words on my website? Mm. And again, in search engine optimization, you may not rank well if you're not using the right words, but if you are using too many words that you shouldn't be using, then you have a problem. Mm. You know, but again, you have to also step back and say, how is my website structured, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Does it load very well? Because again, if people get their imbalances, then the crawler basically says, this is not a place for you to go. So mm-hmm, you lose traffic. So I think the most important thing therefore is that you must be able to have the right build up of the right words that you want to bring traffic, mm, to your website. So, mm, I would say also try to blog.
Mm.
Blogging is one of the most underrated, you know, SEO traffic generator. Yeah. All right, because people are searching. If you check, Google tells you that people are searching for solution. Where do I get the best weave-ons? Where do I get the best? All right, mm-hmm, that's what they are searching for. Which weave-on is the best for me,
mm-hmm,
for my type of hair?
Mm-hmm.
If you have a blog on your website or even a blog that has a backlink, again, I'll come, mm-hmm, back to backlink.
Okay.
Too many things to talk about. But if you have a blog on your website or a blog outside that has a backlink to website, if you're addressing the right type of wig or weave on for the type of your hair, for your face, for your all that,
mm-hmm,
I can guarantee you that traffic will come to your page. Wow. And people will get to your page, and the idea is when they land on your page, the experience should be good. Mm. So they should know, I've landed here. However, you have, for you to buy the right, have you been on a page where you were searching for a book on, let's say, digital marketing,
mm-hmm,
and you Google what is digital marketing, and you land on the page and the person takes you through what digital marketing is. At the bottom of it, there's a book
for more, yes,
or for more, whatever it, yeah, is. By that time, you are already open to trying out that kind of stuff.
Mm.
So your business is benefiting from the content that is on your website, mm, and the kind of traffic that you are pushing to your website.
If anything, I think it also builds credibility as well, because when you hear someone saying, oh, this is the best type of attachment, you think, oh, this person must know what they're saying if they, absolutely, really took their time to write a whole blog post about it.
Absolutely.
Amazing. So we're winding down. As we said, we don't have as much time. So I'd like you to share some insights and highlight brands that have been able to go global, reposition the category using digital marketing as well.
There are too many of them, but I'll start with the one that I love. I like using relatable examples. And I'll start with Netflix.
Okay.
Started up in the US. They were renting video cassettes and videotapes, whatever it was called then. And today they are a global brand.
Mm.
And virtually every country has Netflix. You know, you can watch Netflix. And most of it was driven by digital marketing. You know, I mean, they didn't have offices all over the world, but they had digital banners, they had video content,
mm,
that they were putting out there online and marketing them digitally.
Mm-hmm.
And so Netflix is one big example of a brand that actually just went global. I did mention Uber at some point in time. Again, yes, you know, it's not a brand that was everywhere at once, but they started with digital marketing and some other things, because, you know, people always say digital marketing is social media, but it's not true. I'm sure we all know that it's not true, because there's also digital PR, where you're putting the right kind of words out there,
mm,
for your brand, and, you know, building credibility and goodwill. So some of them are actually busted into limelight using celebs and influencers, which is actually also a subset of, you know, digital marketing. Mm-hmm. I'd like to quickly also state that there's a confusion between digital marketing and digital advertising.
Okay. Could you please clarify?
Digital advertising is a subset of digital marketing. Digital marketing embodies all the activities, you know, used in educating, creating awareness, and promoting products and services online.
Okay.
Digital advertising is basically the paid aspect of digital marketing.
Hmm.
So it is basically paid to capture your attention, and it's more short term than long term. Digital marketing is more long term, and digital advertising is more short term. So it's a bit of a difference there.
Awesome. So apart from Netflix, could you give us maybe an African example?
African example. So I'll tell you one of the things that I have found about, you know, and this brand, a lot of people don't know how big the brand is abroad, and people are looking for the brand abroad. Dudu Osun is one brand that I love. Started as a completely traditional black soap.
Mm-hmm.
It would surprise you. I mean, I spoke with a very senior executive in the business, and he said that at some point they had 40% of their entire supply going out of the country.
Wow.
And again, it's about what are people looking for. So if you go to Google search tools and you see people are searching for herbal remedies, herbal soap. Today, charcoal was something that we used to use to whiten and clean our teeth when we were young. I'm not sure you guys ever experienced it, but we used to use charcoal too. Today, there is charcoal paste. Packaged and it's selling all over the world. So the question is, you have to start with what are people searching for? What solutions are they trying to find? So Dudu Osun is one example of a brand that, you know, is doing very well. But one of the brands I would like to say is Nigerian Music. You
certainly
understand?
Yes.
Nigerian Music is a brand, Afrobeat that is, that has gone global, and it's mad out there, like they say, like the Gen Z say. It's totally mad out there. So those are examples of, you know, brands that have, again, we don't have time to go through all of them, but there are plenty.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That's been the show today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Be sure to tune in again for insightful episodes.
That's all for this episode of Insight Edge by the Lagos Business School Management Hub. We're grateful to our distinguished guests and experts who shared their wisdom with us today. Their perspectives help us navigate the complex landscape of business in Africa, and we're honored to have them as a part of the Insights Edge community. Until next time, keep seeking, keep learning, and keep pushing the boundaries of what's possible.